levántate clase pobre, que la hora ya llegó de tomar la cosa en serio y liberar.
Mineros colombianos han iniciado un paro indefinido contra políticas gubernamentales. Carolina Garzón amplía la información.
Inició en todo el territorio nacional el paro minero y jornada por la defensa de la minería nacional artesanal, pequeña y mediana. Más de 5.000 representantes de los pequeños y medianos mineros en varios municipios del país cesan sus labores para protestar por el abandono estatal. Los departamentos que tendrán mayor cantidad de protestas y movilizaciones son Antioquia, Córdoba, Chocó y Caldas. En una carta pública de los mineros artesanales pequeños y medianos, expresan que su trabajo es el único modo de subsistencia propia y de sus familias, en medio de un país cuyos dirigentes limitaron profundamente las oportunidades de mejorar las condiciones de sus habitantes. Igualmente, en esa comunicación afirman que, conscientes del efecto que nuestra actividad tiene en la sociedad y en el ambiente, estamos convencidos que debemos cambiar y mejorar las prácticas mineras. En entrevista para Contagio Radio, Rubén Darío Gómez, de la Junta Directiva de Conalminercol, afirma que este paro es cuestión de dignidad y manifiesta la necesidad de tomar esta medida de hecho.
Nosotros no estamos dispuestos a permitir la violación a nuestros derechos, a la soberanía, a la dignidad que tenemos los mineros, a la defensa del empleo nacional, que no lo hace el gobierno. Nosotros sí estamos dispuestos, y esto es un problema de dignidad, que los trabajadores mineros en Colombia no estamos dispuestos a dejarnos pisotear. Y esto, esa es la situación. Si nos van a encanar, si nos van a meter a la cárcel, pues que nos metan peleando y no que vamos a morir arrodillados esperando que el gobierno va a hacer con nosotros, que ya está claro, no va a hacer nada.
El pliego de 15 puntos de los mineros artesanales, pequeños y medianos, gira en torno a tres exigencias. Uno, que respete la producción y trabajo honesto de los mineros y no les dé el trato de grupos armados ilegales. Dos, que el Estado reconozca que esta actividad es diferente a la gran minería. Y tres, que exista un verdadero proceso de formalización y legalización. También el departamento de Chocó se suma a estas exigencias. Valentín Perea, integrante de la Asociación de Barequeros del Bajo Atrato, relató su situación personal y la exigencia que realiza al gobierno nacional.
Vamos a pagar porque el Estado como tal no nos quiere dejar trabajar y nosotros estamos haciendo una minería responsable. Como tal, pues, lo que estamos mirando es que viene un operativo encima sobre la minería. Entonces, si el operativo viene encima sobre la minería, ¿de qué vamos a subsistir? ¿De qué vamos a vivir? Ahora tenemos todo claro que lo que queremos es que el gobierno como tal nos deje trabajar. Como una, que nos dé título minero y que suspenda los operativos. Y que lo que si cree el gobierno que lo que estamos haciendo no es una minería responsable, que nos ayude a cómo hacerla.
De esta forma, en Colombia se inicia una movilización social, esta vez a cargo de los mineros artesanales, pequeños y medianos. Mientras aún continúan en paro, los campesinos del Catatumbo, y se alista una gran manifestación por parte de los cafeteros, lecheros, paperos, camioneros, textileros, productores de cuero, calzado y muchos más sectores del agro y la industria colombiana. Desde Contagio Radio estaremos informándoles del desarrollo de este paro y de todas las movilizaciones que se originan en Colombia.
Aquí concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide de tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Just in my teens, I make toys here in Thailand. The pig lady and the big ears mouse, you'd think this is fairyland. But the bosses are in your face, they push and yell all day. They need more toys somewhere far away. You can't live on what they pay. But we will have dignity, tear down this misery. The world will hear our song. We're growing strong. One Monday afternoon, there were screams in the factory, the whole building consumed by flames, doors locked for security. In that cruel cheap fire trap, 200 workers died. The broken toys and broken people strewn all over side by side. But we will have dignity, tear down this misery. The world will hear our song. We're growing strong. And we're fighting back. Petitions and boycotts will carry us through. They'll all know this world is our world too. Across the sea's a land where the dolls find a family and the children get to go to school. They don't work in a factory. There are unions that struggle for better pay and safety. We'll never rest until the day all people live in dignity. We will have dignity, tear down this misery. The world will hear our song. We're growing strong.
In Honduras.
We're growing strong.
Haiti.
We're growing strong.
Ghana.
We're growing strong.
So that was a couple of numbers from the Ray Corona Band, We Will Have Dignity. We're going to listen to another one or two, and then we're going to go right into the show. You're tuned to the stream of free radio at freakradio.org. We're not broadcasting. We would normally be broadcasting at 101.3 FM, but our transmitter is looking for a home, a place to put up, put down stakes. And if you've got an idea, a location, please call in, and call in during the show if you have any thoughts. If you're listening to this on July 18th, Thursday, it is a live show. Otherwise, it is being rebroadcast or archived. But you're welcome to call in. If it's live today, July 18th, I encourage you to do so. And again, the phone number is 831-427-3772. I've got a couple of special guests in the studio who I'll introduce in a moment. And we're going to roll through 2 hours of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. That's the name of the show. And we're, not ashamed of it. So there.
Sexual harassment, I'm calling the law.
And those were four songs by the Ray, or two songs actually, by the Ray Corona Band. We Will Have Dignity and Calling the Law. And this is a somewhat ancient album from 1998. So for all you old timers or middle timers out there, that's what was cooking. So in the studio with me, I have a couple of guests. And I've got to get everybody's name right to begin with so I don't screw it up. I know it's Brian and Sonny Fawcett, in fact. But, Brian, how do you want to be known? How would you like the audience to know you?
Brian Richard.
Brian Richard?
Yes.
Okay. So, Brian and Sonny, you guys are from, guy and gal, actually, are from Monterey, Carmel,
yes.
Seaside?
Monterey.
And I know that Sonny's been on the show before with Colonel Terry and a bunch of other folks. I think we had, we had a whole bunch of guests that day. We had a couple from San Francisco who was in a commune. And we had a voice talking about homeless people trashing the environment. So we've had a lot of, we've had you before, Sonny. And we've talked about your case not just in studio, but also you've been taped and talked about it when you came to HUF meetings, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meetings, in the last year. And, of course, the case was you're being stopped by a Monterey police officer late at night, way back in the fall, and accused of driving too slow. And when you sort of, you know, feeling you were being harassed, put him through a number of paces. Who are you? Well, what's your authority? Can I talk to a supervisor? He eventually let you go without a citation, but shortly thereafter, a couple weeks later, they sent you a citation, more than a citation for going too slow, for obstructing an officer, and then at trial, 9 months later or more, you got another citation right before the trial, another misdemeanor charge of disobeying an officer or disobeying a lawful order. And, I know you had a trial, and you've talked about your trial coming up, I guess, when you were in the studio a couple weeks ago. And I've talked about it a little bit. I've given updates about it. This was a trial in Salinas in the court of Judge Maldonado. And you beat two of the charges, but one of the charges was branded on your chest forever, a scarlet H for homeless, because you are homeless, as I understand, or housed in your vehicle, if you will. You live in your vehicle, as I understand, or live where you can, often in your vehicle. And, Brian, that's also your situation to some extent?
I don't have a vehicle. Some
a man without a vehicle. I don't even know I should let you in the studio.
So. I know.
Yeah. And you both, however, have spent some time in the Monterey area?
Yes.
How long were you there, Brian?
I've been there since October
and
of last year.
So you've been there for about 9 months, something like that. And Sunny, how long were you in the Monterey area?
Oh, 30 years.
Wow, so you're an old-timer. As I know, I first met you, as I remember, when you brought me an article about San Luis Obispo and a successful lawsuit there by San Luis Obispo activists who actually got an attorney to help them. What a concept. To stop them from, to stop the police from misusing an ordinance that was, in fact, simply being opportunistically used to go after homeless people but had nothing really to do, or which it was not properly being used against them. Of course, then the city council voted an ordinance that could be used properly against them, or improperly, but legally. And so it's always an endless battle, but one that I apparently take some delight in covering, or maybe I feel it's important to do that. I'm not sure. It's kind of like covering the blows that fall on you as they, you know, they beat you on the soles of the feet, and noticing how big the sores are, and what does the doctor say about them, and all this sort of thing, which is kind of disgusting and kind of irrelevant. The real question is, how do you stop the blows, and how do you heal the feet, and how do you get walking again? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to you know, get a report on the trial from you guys, which you gave me yesterday at the Huff meeting, and which I think I got on the phone from you, Brian, a couple days before that.
Yes.
But I'm then going to roll into the main portion of the show, which involves essentially a lot of tapes and a lot of interviews with other people, and also, hopefully, a phone call or two, 427-3772, for all you us computer streamer listeners out there. That's area code 831, by the way, if you're out of the area. 831-427-3772. And you then can comment on your thoughts on what we're discussing here, maybe draw some parallels or some contrasts with your own Monterey area, you know,
sure,
or other places you've been. Where were you at before you were in Monterey, Brian?
I was in a shelter in Fremont and Berkeley, and I basically came from Kentucky. I'm hoping to one day go back there.
And, of course, you, Sonny, have been a long-time Monterey resident. Were you housed at one time, or have you always been a mentally disabled, crazy, drunken, alcoholic, needle-using, you know, with a flower in your hair, no less? So
none of the above except for the flower in my hair.
All right. And how long were you without? Have you been without permanent abode?
8 years.
Are you without abode by choice, as the Santa Cruz bigots like to put it, or...
No, actually, I had a lot of family members that have passed away, so it would be one after another, one foreclosure after another, and then paying for funerals was done through my savings. So it was a real sad thing to end up that way, but it's been happening to a lot of people and across the country, for that matter.
Big time.
Yes.
Do we have any? I know the Occupy Monterey Peninsula movement has been more active than our own Occupy Santa Cruz. Though I understand, though I've been to the last two meetings, Occupy Santa Cruz still shows up to some extent, whether as a formal group or as just a group of folks chatting at the steps of the post office every Saturday at 5:30, right after the Food Not Bombs meal at the post office in Santa Cruz at 4 o'clock. But what about the local, the Occupy Monterey Peninsula? Have you two been involved with that at all?
I haven't. I haven't even seen it since I've been there.
And what about you?
Yeah, it's kind of faded a little bit. There are some people that are active with their own smaller groups, but we really need to step up to the plate again and get something going.
Well, I know that in Monterey, and I definitely took a lot of tape of this. In fact, I didn't even need to take tape because it was archived with video and audio online. The Monterey City Council, to a packed chamber, which I guess you were at, Sonny, and you may have been there too, Brian.
Yes.
They considered three proposals from the Homeless Get Lost, But Let's Not Look Too Nasty gang, who wanted to at least institute an analysis or study of the Sit Lie Law, the law that criminalizes people for sitting on the sidewalk or near buildings, which was narrowly defeated in Berkeley and was passed in San Francisco and has been law in Santa Cruz since 1994.
My.
We were, in fact, pioneers in bigotry in that regard. Hats off to Mayor Neil Coonerty. Actually, it was Mayor Scott Kennedy at the time, but Coonerty of the Downtown Association led the charge. And things have been getting worse ever since in terms of the formal legal situation for homeless people. Anyway, that was one of the proposals. But the sit lie was, and because of this packed chamber, and they almost, not unanimous, but very heavily weighted against this proposal. This proposal was essentially deep-sixed, or at least they said it was going to be deep-sixed. Mm-hmm. Two other proposals, one involving no smoking, it seemed to need to be aimed against homeless people, because homeless people, I think, have a higher proportion of smokers than your average scene. I mean, you got to immunize yourself or dull the pain and dull the boredom and dull the abuse somehow is what I understand. Or it's, or people are just more likely to be smokers, a higher percentage of smokers. You might say nicotine abusers, if you will.
Yeah.
And that has resulted in Santa Cruz in a massive passage of anti-smoking laws everywhere you look. Some of it, you know, may have to do with legitimate health concerns. I don't much like people smoking around me generally, marijuana accepted. But, you know, tobacco, even marijuana can get a little, you know. It's nice for people to ask before they smoke, and, you know, it's often done. The people are polite, and I think that's really the way to go. But to criminalize smoking really gives the police a very strong tool to go after homeless people. And anybody who's lighting up a cigarette, young people, youth and homeless people, I think, are maybe particularly amenable to this, although I haven't done Public Records Act requests or researched any of the records to find out if the citations actually reflect this, and they might, and they might not. But this was passed not as a law by the Monterey City Council on that day when there was a packed chamber when you and I, all three of us, were there about 2 months ago, but it was passed as something to study and may well be passed. And then the third thing that was forwarded to be passing was a kind of permit parking or banning of overnight parking on certain roads, which might seem like a reasonable proposal, except that I got the impression, as in Santa Cruz, where there's a massive spread of this toxic permit parking everywhere, it has to do a lot, not with the fact that people can't find parking spaces, which is a problem, but with the fact that they don't want homeless people in, even parking their vehicles overnight there, although it's already illegal in Santa Cruz to sleep in a vehicle after 11 o'clock at night. It's illegal for you to sleep without your vehicle, Brian, outside after 11 o'clock at night. But until 11, you're fine. So obviously, you can sleep during the day. And as Judge Kangaroo Kelly put it back in 1997, what's the problem? So, any thoughts about anything I've said so far here, Brian?
I think having the homeless sleep during the day just means they won't be around to bug the tourists.
Tell them how it got started, though, what we found out about the sleeping ban. I mean,
it started in, I think it was a closed meeting in, 2001?
Boy, do we need 2000.
Or 2000. And what Monterey does is they use code 23-3A, which they claim is unauthorized camping, but they don't tell, when the police give the ticket, they don't tell you that it's for a recreational area only.
That is to say, you're only illegal if you are improperly camped in a recreational area, but there's no general ban on camping elsewhere?
No, they don't have a code. They when they go to enforce it, like I've been caught twice sleeping at the library, and I got this...
The Monterey Library.
The Monterey Library outside, and it was actually a sergeant, Sergeant Gwynvarch, that actually told me I could sleep outside the library.
That's one of the reasons you went there?
Yeah, that was the only reason I went there.
Well, good books. Or do they let you in the library? You're kind.
They let me in.
Problems, too, by the way. I want to hear more about that, but go ahead.
And so I slept outside, and I guess one day the business owners got together. It just happened to be at the start of tourist season, and they decided how bad the homeless people were, and they got together with the chief of police and the mayor and decided they wanted all the homeless gone. And then the police...
But you have no actual records or inside informants who heard this meeting?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you did? When did this meeting take place? Who was involved? What's the story on that?
There was a...
what's your source on that?
He's an insurance adjuster, and he helps with the Saturday Feed in Monterey. I don't remember his name offhand.
When is the Saturday Feed and where in Monterey?
It's at... what's that park?
Skateboard.
The skateboard park. And it's right across from the cemetery. And it happens about 9 o'clock in the morning every Saturday.
Until what time?
Until probably...
9 till...
10 or 11, somewhere.
Wednesday night till 11.
Yeah.
You don't have an address for someone coming from out of town who might want to visit?
I could tell you that it's right behind the baseball field.
Jack Park.
It's actually
Jack's Park. Right
Jack's
by Dennis
Park.
Menace.
Yeah.
Dennis Menace Park. Everybody knows. Right by the skateboard and the paddle boat area right near there.
Yeah.
And this is a place where, how long has this feed been going on?
I think it's been a few years now. It was started by a lady named Kate, and it's Pass the Word Ministries. And she just started off with some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a couple of tables, and then it just grew because they're very open.
Well, that's how crime begins, with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. As they say, the broken windows theory, one first is a peanut butter sandwich, then it's a needle, after that it can be several murders.
Well, that peanut butter jelly sandwich, you can dry it out and it could get stale and you might be able to hurt somebody with it, I guess.
It could become a lethal weapon. And in fact, I think that's why our police department and our merchant association has been trying to draw the line here.
I think so.
We have a public hysteria task force, or they call themselves a public safety task force, citizen task force. They meet every 2 weeks. I actually just talked to the city clerk, city administrator, Bren Lair, here in Santa Cruz, mm-hmm. because their meetings have not been archived in terms of the minutes, in terms of the audio online, so that we can't really hear these golden words of these folks who are
closed door meetings. Shows, huh?
Well, they're open, but you can't. First of all, there's no public commentary. You have to go to the meeting in order to hear it. Uh-huh. And then, secondly, if you don't get to the meeting and you are eager to hear the latest rantings of the police department, or there was a fairly good presentation, as I understand it, around needles and health, which essentially said something like, even though they've closed down needle exchange in the city of Santa Cruz, I don't know what the story is in Monterey. We can hear about that in a moment. But we'll talk about that in a moment. You wanted to say something. Go ahead, Brian.
Monterey has many closed-door meetings with their city council. Yes. It would actually amaze you how many they have.
Including the courts and the judges.
Well, in theory, the task force, or force, depending on how you want to look at it, is not a Brown Act compliant group. That is to say, they're not required to post notice of their meetings. They're not required to post agendas. They're not required to allow public comment, because they are a special group created, selected by the mayor of our city, Mayor Hillary Bryant. Mm-hmm. And I also, I think I heard from the city administrator just a few hours ago when I spoke to her that she says this group is also a six-month ad hoc committee. I don't know if I would actually call it an ad hoc committee if it's just appointed by the mayor. I think ad hoc committees may have to have some city council members involved, but maybe not. Maybe it is just an ad hoc committee. This is a way of, I guess some would say streamlining the process. I would say excluding the public, limiting the amount of records that are made around the meeting, so you can't really mm-hmm. hold them accountable or find out really what's going on until the last minute. So for instance, I'm still trying to get the records of the Parks and Rec Commission, which is a regular ad hoc Brown Act compliant meeting, mm-hmm. which came up with this proposal that makes it illegal to hold up a sign of any kind on any of the medians or roundabouts in Santa Cruz, or even to linger there. You're not allowed to linger at all. And we had thought no loitering laws were thrown out in 1982 with a federal court decision in the Larson case. No, sorry about that. Apparently not in Santa Cruz. Of course, the Seattle Roulette decision back in 1993 produced the time, place, and manner exceptions that allows these cities to carve nice, deep gouges into the Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is in Santa Cruz, too.
Yeah.
So, at the city council meeting in Monterey, where the three of us, and I think I saw you, Sunny, and said hello, and I think you made a dramatic appearance, and you were
I
in
did.
Tears, I believe, and you had a lot of support from people in the audience. A lot of service providers in Monterey are willing to talk about the criminalization of the homeless and oppose it.
And I was also trying.
But not in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, and I was also trying to let the council know that I wanted my charges dropped. I wanted the city and the county to drop the charges immediately, to put it on the agenda immediately, and who was going to facilitate all that.
And again, we're referring to Sunny's charges of driving too slow to please Officer, what's his name?
Olney.
Officer Olney, if you're listening, you're invited to call in and give your side of the story. Feel free to...
And it's on YouTube.
And there is a a video of the, was it, 17-minute stop on YouTube?
26-minute.
Thank you. I didn't really get through it. I got through some of it. It's kind of boring to hear this officer repeatedly demand that you open your door, open your window, give him registration. And we couldn't hear much of you on the video. It's kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, you have to turn it up, and you definitely don't want to miss the finale where he threatens, Officer Russo threatens to break in my window.
Well, you drove him to distraction, Sonny Fawcett.
And only goes, oh, no, no, you don't want to do that. And one thing, we discovered something interesting today in town here, in your town.
Go ahead.
Going to a Methodist church. And we were asking about the sleeping, because they have a, what do they call that program? Something about being able to have some people sleep at the church. It's a new minister. He sounded very strange. Didn't sound like he was at all interested in the homeless situation. I think his name was Jay. It's a Methodist church on California Street. And he said it was under the
ISSP.
Yes. And
Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program.
I don't know what that is. But
Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program is a very small but very well-intended program which houses 20 people, usually the same 20 people, each night for 6 nights of the week, and it's completely volunteer. It doesn't get much money from anybody except the volunteers who put it together. It's there was a lot of enthusiasm for it earlier in the year. Steve Plaich talked about how it was a... likely to, you know, he was going to see it. It'll expand. It's a great idea. And I said, I've seen it before. It was here 20 years ago. It did expand to about 80 people, but since there's 1,000 to 1,500 homeless people in the area, it doesn't really address the issues, nor is it in any way any kind of a real solution. It is a way of helping a few people and ignoring the rest. I mean, that's the problem. You know?
Right.
I mean, so what did you find out about this Methodist church that you noted?
Tell him your feelings. I don't think this guy was very interested at all in helping.
It just seemed like we were bothering him.
And they were building a new...
You know, they were remodeling or whatever, painting.
How they got the funds.
And the secretary, when she asked questions, she kept rolling her eyes. So, but, yeah. I mean...
What questions did you ask, Sam?
Not a lot.
Well, you can be very talkative, sometimes rather frustrating, I've got to tell you. Go ahead.
But I did want to say something, too, when you talked about Monterey. We just had a meeting. There was a meeting.
Oh, no, no, no. Answer my question first.
Okay, sorry. What was it?
What happened? What were the questions you were asking? She
oh, basically, there was a really awesome minister that used to be there before. Julie knows who that person is, our friends. And he's left up to go up north somewhere, and so this J minister steps in now. But again, like Brian was saying, he didn't seem very attentive, or much less even trying to give information. We were saying, you know, do you have a brochure for your church, or do you have any idea what your program's going to be like for the, you know, are you still keeping up with the homeless sleep-ins? And he was just very, it seemed like he was almost irritated that, and kept saying, you know, well, we're going to have to look into that, or we're going to, what is it, I guess, check it out later, or I don't know, it's just not...
We'll get back to you on that.
Yes, so that's right.
Perhaps next week.
Yeah, right.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
I didn't think it was that important.
Yeah, right. But I did want to add that in Monterey, when you talked about the groups, there is a group called DAMN, D-A-M-N, and it's with Michael Fredrickson. And they have been meeting. They met at the Peace and Freedom Center the same day we were coming up. So what day would that have been? Wednesday? Wednesday night. That's right, Wednesday night. Yesterday night. And it was supposed to be about flexing your rights. And it had to do with all the police harassment things and so on. And it was in the weekly paper, Monterey County Weekly Paper. It was advertised.
So, Brian, you've talked about... Well, we're going to be talking in a moment about your experience, both of your experiences with the trial of Sonny Fawcett, where she was found guilty of disobeying an officer.
Uh-huh.
And that was, what, 4 days ago or something? Or last week.
For a charge they put on her 10 months after.
Right, which they
stopped
what they
her.
Can do. That's quite. That's you can put on a charge later. Yeah. You have to give them time to respond. I would say,
mm-hmm.
And of course, and we've talked at length about this. You and I, all three of us, and at the Huff meeting, and to some extent, Chesson, you talked about it last time you were on the air here. But before we get into that, you've had some general concerns about how homeless people are treated in Monterey. because you're homeless yourself, and you said you sought refuge and even went to the servant protectors of the community, the armed thugs with the badges and guns, the Monterey Police Department, and got this go to the library, and they, and then suddenly you were saying that we didn't really finish that story, that you then got ticketed twice for being at the library.
First, an insurance adjuster got up in the weekly feed on Saturday, and he said that the business owners had a meeting with the mayor and the police chief, and they were complaining about the homeless and how they were going to the bathroom and defecating themselves.
Are there any 24-hour bathrooms in Monterey?
They put them up like a day before the meeting.
This meeting, another meeting.
You mean? No, the first meeting they had.
But not the meeting that this insurance adjuster was talking about.
No, it was the one you attended.
The city council meeting in Monterey that resulted in turning back the Sid Lyle.
Yes, they put I think four portables up. Of course, they didn't service them for 3 months after that. But after that, he said how the police were their friends and how they need to, you know, respect
who's
the officer, the insurance adjuster, and how they're just trying to help the homeless. And after that, the police started giving all these tickets, municipal code or MCC 233A. And it's for unauthorized camping in a recreational area, but they don't tell them on the ticket that it's for a recreational area only.
So in other words, they've yet neglected to create an ordinance against camping generally.
They don't have one at all in the city.
Well, don't hold your breath. It may be coming down the road very shortly.
Yeah. The only thing they have is some trespass law, but they don't have signs in the businesses saying you can't trespass. But so when I got the ticket for camping at the library,
camping? You mean you had a fire? You had a big tent set up? You're having a barbecue? You had your friends over?
Just a sleeping
drinking
bag?
Drinking wildly? Perhaps throwing needles in the windows?
No, just sleeping. That's all I was doing was sleeping. And the officer.
How could you be so rude?
I know. The officer and actually the gardener and the janitor would, when I didn't sleep there, they would ask where I was, and they even told me, it's okay, you go ahead there. We don't care. You're not bothering us. And the officer came right up on me, and he said, hey, really loud. And I mean, it tweaked my back, just jerking. And I told him the sergeant said it was okay. And he called the sergeant. The sergeant came out and said, I don't know what you're talking about. And I told him right to his face, you told me it was okay to sleep here, and that's why I've been here for 3 months. And I got to the point where I told him, you're lying. And
wait a minute. You told one of our officers of the law.
Yeah.
You accused them of telling an untruth.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, you see, that can be the basis for, shall we say, I don't know, at least losing a limb, if not possibly. What was the officer's response to your vicious claim?
He goes, I don't remember telling you this.
Maybe just a bad memory.
Yeah, it became a bad memory.
Mm.
So I went, and I assumed that maybe they wouldn't come back the next day, but I went and slept there again. And again I was ticketed, only this time the officer that ticketed me the night before, he actually told another officer, yeah, that's him over there, because I had complained about being ticketed the first night at the police station. And he went and this officer gave me a ticket, and there was another guy
this is the same officer would not be accused of going after you personally two nights in a row.
Yeah, but there was a guy that was right around the corner from me, and they ticketed him the night before, but they didn't ticket him the second night.
His first name?
His first name was Adam.
Go ahead.
And so I went, and I got up that night, and I started to write an article. And the name of the article is, Why is it Illegal to be Homeless in Monterey? And I went to the police department. I got on the phone. I told them, I'm going to write this article. They actually gave me Gwen Varch's voicemail.
Who's Gwen Varch?
Sergeant Robert Gwen Varch. And I said, I'm going to write an article on why is it illegal to be homeless in Monterey. And I said, this is completely ridiculous. You know what you told me. And an officer came driving up the road, I mean, really fast. He must have been going 40 in like a 25.
While you were on the phone?
While I was on the phone in front of the police station.
NSA is working very quickly here.
And he slammed the brakes, and then he gave me this dirty look like he was going to beat me up if I talked anymore. And so I went to the library when it opened, and I began to write this article on Brouhaha, and I found out that...
What is Brouhaha?
It's an online newspaper.
How do you spell it?
Brouhaha. Mm-hmm. And it's free. I mean, you can actually write articles for them, and there's no fee to sign up.
The name of the paper again is?
Brouhaha.
And you spell it again?
Brouhaha. Mm-hmm. And... I went.
Is your article there now?
Yes. No, it isn't there. I was writing it, and then I went to go submit it on my account to the editor, and somebody blocked it. I could not submit it on the library laptop to the editor at all.
Well, so perhaps you were part of this conspiracy by Snowden and Manning to expose secrets. You know, the police department are part of the thin blue line against the terrorists, you know.
Yeah.
Now, could it be that you speak Arabic?
Oh, no.
Well, that could be part of your deep cover. You know, could it be you could be hypnotically a sleeper ready to be activated?
Well, my great-grandparents were part of the revolution in Russia, so...
There you go, a bunch of commies. Yeah, well, no wonder they don't want you around here, you know. So anyway, you were in the library writing your article, and you found that for some reason it was blocked. Did you inquire as to why it was blocked?
No, what I did was I printed it, and I gave it to the mayor's secretary, and the mayor gave it to all the city councilmen that were going to have the meeting. It was the night of the meeting.
So it just happened that this is around the time when there was a lot of interest and public support for defending homeless people among community members who came to this meeting, of which three of us were members.
Yes, and he gave it to all the council members. He gave it to the police chief, and they knew that I had a workers' comp situation that I'd been working on with Steve Zeltzer, who's an activist for injured workers. And they knew I was going to have a press conference in San Francisco, and I told them about it. And so they had the police chief call me into his office.
The police chief's name is
Philip Penko. And
how do you spell it?
P-E-N-K-O. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he was very nice to me. We went in the office, and he said, "We understand. We want the homeless out of town, but we don't. It's not that we want all the homeless," is what he said. He said, "We want the travelers gone. We do not want them here." And he said, "Somebody like you that doesn't cause any trouble till now, we don't have a problem with.
But rather, someone like you is causing too much trouble, we'd better respond to before you blow
and
our
gig. And this is a hospitality industry. We want the travelers gone."
And in particular, it was a group of them that they wanted gone that he mentioned. And
these were firebomb-throwing vandals?
No, they don't like them because they float signs. They
steal from each other?
They don't know. They're actually nice guys. I mean, they have an opinion.
However, it sounds like Sonny's view is that these are people who steal from each other. Is that right?
Well, which ones are we talking about? Are we talking about the ones that hang in front of the stupid sign that says, "Do you really want to help the needy?" What does it say?
No, I'm talking about the homeless. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I am.
What? No. It's not those.
Could there be a disagreement between our two guests?
I think so.
Let's
We went and visited the city to find out who owns the property.
Yeah, but let me finish my story.
Okay, go ahead.
So the police chief, you know, he basically told me, "We don't care about you as far as... sleeping wherever you want." And he told me you could sleep at the library as long as you want.
Did he invite you to come to the police station, get into a cell?
And he said, "I'm going to make sure all the officers leave you alone."
Mm-hmm.
And so
this was in May, or this happened?
I want to say April.
April.
And so I went and I even bought a cot. After my I went to San Francisco first, and I had my little thing with Steve Zeltzer and
press conference.
Yeah, and I'm actually on YouTube.
And how can people access that?
It would be Clark. Let's see. It's actually Brian Carrasco. They can access it under my name, C A R R A S C O. And Brian Carrasco, and I think it's under Clark Pest Control, Criminal Fraud Against Injured Worker, Brian Carrasco, and DIR cover-up. Against me, Brian Carrasco. Okay. And so the when I came back, I bought a cot, thinking I could sleep outside the library, no problem. And my first
trying to set up shop outside the library, shanty town in Monterey.
The first night I was there, somebody came in the library, and where I sleep, they kicked the double doors. So somebody was not very happy that I was allowed to sleep there.
So you were inside the library?
No, I was outside. And they kicked the double doors from inside the library.
So a library staff person that disagreed with the police chief.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt if it was the mayor or somebody. But and then after that, I was there for, I think, a couple weeks. And
that was to awaken you at night when you kicking the door. That was the idea.
In the middle of the night, they just kicked the door. You could tell it was somebody that was upset. And they had to...
Maybe he felt jealous that you got a cot, and they just had to wander around in the library with a bunch of books.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was in the middle of the night. And so I went and I cleaned up after myself every morning. I left before anybody was there. So there wasn't a problem.
How long were you doing this for?
I would say probably a week, 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And then one day, two officers surrounded me, and they said...
Time to move on, Mr.
Yeah, they said, you're not allowed to sleep in the library. And John Olney actually came...
You're not allowed to sit in the library?
Not allowed to sleep outside the library.
Okay.
And Officer John Olney, who, stopped her, Sonny Fawcett, actually, I told him what the police chief said. And I hadn't even read the letter that the police chief gave me. I assumed, it was okay because he told me this. And John Olney said, well, if the police chief told you this, he's wrong, and he has no business telling you where you should be able to sleep. And I thought, is that officer under this police chief? I thought I couldn't believe
it. He's simply trying to make the police chief respond to the law. He basically wants to give us special favors to whistleblowers like you to shut you up. That's wrong. That's wrong.
Yeah. But you know what he actually told me that was very interesting?
Yes.
He said, I told him, I'm going to write an article about this. And the moment I asked for all three of the officers' business cards, you could see they were shaking heads at each other. They were like, oh, man. One of them I heard said, oh, man, when he turned around because they weren't very happy. But John Olney actually told me, the officer, he said that a few homeless people were caught doing things that they shouldn't have done, and therefore it screwed it up for everybody. And I told him. I got very upset, and I said, you can't tell me if another person commits a crime that you could hold me for that crime, and that's not right what you're telling me. And
this is the old rotten apple in the barrels spoils all the rest of the apples, which of course is a nice metaphor that they use to, first of all, justify bad laws and bad police practices, but also it's a way of intimidating people who are in the barrel to believe, oh, we have to be treated this way because this other person behaved badly, therefore we don't have any rights, which of course is ridiculous.
Yeah. And we went round and round about this, and I told them, the police chief said I can do this, so
did you stand your ground or lie your ground, or did you get up and leave?
I told him that I would leave. I didn't try to, argue with him. He tried to give me another code. I think it was 647E or something like that, saying that I was trespassing and that I could be arrested. And I told him, I said, if you arrest me, I'm going to sue the city for harassment. And after that, he was like, we don't want any part of this. And he pretty much backed off, and he
backed off, but he got you to leave the library.
The outside of the library, yes.
Because you were frightened of that, his response.
No, I wasn't particularly frightened. I knew that it was just kind of a bully tactic.
But you allowed yourself to be bullied in the sense that you feared further consequences if you said, look, go talk to the police chief or write me a ticket, I'm tired, I'm going back to sleep. You didn't do it. Some people in Santa Cruz would do that.
It actually was the time I was getting up anyway. So otherwise, I probably, if it would have been like 2 in the morning or something, I probably would have said, you know, go
away,
beat your street or something. I don't know what I would have told them.
Beat your meat, buddy. I mean, beat your street, for heaven's sakes.
So,
but now let's get back to, because I always love to get into this sort of thing, the little difference between you and Sonny about the nature of the, you know, the travelers who are apparently the target. They're also the target of the Santa Cruz Police Department, Business Association, Santa Cruz Neighbors, Take Back Santa Cruz, you name the group, is my general suspicion, if you will. And so, Sonny, you say that is this travelers group a group that you think should be run out of town or should be viewed with some suspicion or steal from each other?
Monterey is supposed to be a hospitality place. And we have people coming from all over the world that, by the way, have even gotten pulled over and harassed with their backpacks. People that are visiting Monterey, harassed by the police, thinking they were homeless, and they just really hit the ceiling. They said, we've saved all year to come visit here, and then you attack us as if we were homeless. And, you know, we're telling everybody. So that's really shooting yourself in the foot. And it's the local people that actually keep the place going, you know, when it comes to the businesses. And what? Tell him about the discovery we
Hold
made.
It. I asked you a question.
Okay.
Get back to the question.
Okay. What was the question?
Travelers, problems between them, stealing from each other. You muttered something, and I then allowed you to continue. I wanted Brian to finish his story, but you obviously seem to have a difference of opinion with him on issues of, you know, whether there was any justification in regarding a group of homeless people as, quote, a problem.
Oh, no, I think we were talking about two different stories, because I had spoken with some homeless people regarding issues about the shopping center where Trader Joe's and Pizza's, and they were talking about how they've been, you know, run off and can't use the bathrooms or can't use, and they're buying things there. They're, you know, panhandling.
What's this about stealing from each other? That was what I heard you mention.
Okay. Oh, well, I don't know, some other guy that was, I guess it was about standing where they do their panhandling, and some guy was a little greedy, trying to stay there for 5 hours, and then somebody else was there for about an hour, and they were getting run off by the other guy or something like that.
The word stealing was mentioned. What's that about?
In other words, they were upset, saying that, you know, you're just stealing my posters, taking my time.
But not, because I know in Santa Cruz it can be, it can often be the person that you lose your stuff to is another houseless person or another person, houseless or not, we don't know, who takes them. I mean, sometimes, and, you know, with some regularity and some criminality, the police department or the Parks and Rec Rangers or, you know, state troopers or county deputies steal people's property and then they'll either confiscate it and sequester it and make it hard to get back. In Santa Cruz, you can only get back property on 2 days, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and only on 2 hours on each of those 2 days, between 12:30 and 2:30.
So I don't even think they can get theirs back here. They just take them. They're not even leaving notices, are they?
No. In fact, there was one encampment where the police put a bunch of business cards.
This is in Monterey we're talking.
Monterey. It was actually, past the Del Monte Shopping Center, the police put a bunch of cards out, and they're business cards, and they're supposed to wait 72 hours.
That's right.
And they wrote something on there. They took it out in a few hours and just started throwing everyone's stuff away.
Yeah, horrible. And so, spraying Roundup on top of it where the sweeps are.
When was this?
I think it was late April, during the time of the cleanup before tourist season.
Well, of course, this is also what Santa Cruz policy was until recent years, when in fact it discontinued the Santa Cruz practice, but to cover their butts, in my view, they adopted this claim that they are following state law and keeping property for 60 to 90 days or some such thing, which they're required to do under state law, if it's of value. Now, of course, they can also claim it's just trash. And I have been very concerned of the seizure of homeless survival gear because that can have a real impact on people. I mean, you know, there's someone might say, well, I'm going to get arrested, go to jail. And some homeless people do this intentionally. They go to jail. Walter Lilly was an activist who did this. And he didn't want to be harassed on the streets anymore. So I'll go to jail for a while. That's fine. Put me in jail.
That's not a good place to be.
I want a place to sleep. And, you know, I'm not sure how he found it one way or the other. But, you know, the problem in jail is what they can often do is they will just hold you until 2 in the morning, then release you, but not release your property and not release, you know, your garments and so forth. That'll be going with the police department down to the police station. The jail is a separate group. And you got to wait. If it's Friday, you got to wait till next Tuesday.
I've seen that happen.
And that happens in Monterey, too?
Absolutely.
So what are the Monterey hours for returning property, you know?
I don't know.
You're
but
going to find out because you're an activist in Monterey.
Well, you know, I had this this friend that got caught for public drunkenness. Mm-hmm. And the police took him to the hospital. And then they gave him hospital clothes, and the police took all his clothes, his backpack, and wouldn't let him have it for about a week. And each time claiming the lady wasn't there to return his property, the one that would normally deal with it.
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or next week.
So
maybe next year.
They actually left him with the hospital gown and robe.
There you go.
And no jacket.
Well, there is, and so it's... It's a way of trying to help out. I mean, a clean robe versus a dirty jacket. I mean,
yeah.
Sort of helping him disguise himself as a hospital patient to get sympathy, perhaps.
Yeah.
So has the homeless population in Monterey, been reduced in the last year, would you say, because of these police measures?
Quite a bit.
So they've been a successful attempt to eliminate the travelers or the...
Yeah, they're trying to chase them out of Monterey into Seaside.
And we have no homeless people in Carmel.
Thank goodness. All right, we have a caller calling in. Hey there, caller. You're on the studio. Well, you're talking to Brian, Sonny, and Robert. Hi.
Hi. Just a comment is I think the difference, difference between what we're living through now and actual fascism, I think, what is preventing is what you all are doing in terms of speaking up and...
That's what you got to do, is speak up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the solidarity that you all are really demonstrating, you know.
Thank you.
And the cop watching and everything. Cause
caller,
it could be a lot.
Go ahead. Sorry. Please, continue.
Well, I don't really... I just think how worse it could be if it wasn't for, you know, the fact that people like you all are have the bravery and tenacity.
And good looks. Let's not forget that. You know, let me ask you, Carl. Are you from local? Where are you from?
No, I'm not. I'm listening on the internet.
How far away are you?
New Jersey.
Wow. And are you from a big town or a little town in New Jersey?
Near Camden.
Which is how
many
people?
And Philadelphia.
Wow, that's kind of a big town.
Camden is right across the Delaware River from Philadelphia.
And have you been homeless yourself?
No.
Have you?
But I've learned a lot from your show about homelessness.
How long have you been listening to this show?
A long time, probably maybe more than 10 years.
Wow, thank you.
And do you ever tune in to the archives? Ever go to the website and check over the archives?
Yeah, I used to download your shows very frequently, and then I couldn't for a while because I couldn't listen, and then I just started listening again.
So you're hooked on my show, eh?
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah, wow.
I'm one of the best.
Do you spend much time outside and going on the streets at all? Have you got any kind of any insight into how things are in New Jersey compared with, say, what you hear on the show?
Well, there's more activism, I think, in Santa Cruz than in Camden. I don't really know a lot about the homelessness situation, although there are a lot of homeless people in Camden and Philadelphia, and people sleep all over Philadelphia.
See, all over.
They sleep in the Fairmont Park or At least I used to when I lived there. And it seemed like they were pretty, you know, well, could do it hassle-free. So, but...
You're now a Camden resident yourself?
I live close to Camden, and I work in Camden.
How big is Camden?
Probably about maybe... maybe 25 square miles, maybe.
And how many people would you say?
I'm not sure.
More than 10,000, more than 50,000, more than 100,000, more than a million. I'm just trying to get an idea of. Oh yeah. Anyway, I mean, it's a recognizable city, so I assume it has probably at least 50,000 people.
Yeah, at least 50,000. It's a very poor. Where the social services are.
And this is it mostly African American, Hispanic population, mostly.
Mostly African American and Hispanic. The police department was just disbanded and reorganized.
Which
I really didn't feel too sorry for the police, actually, when they lost their jobs.
Really?
Have you had bad experiences or good experiences or no experiences with
them? No experiences.
Yeah, no news is good news, I guess. You know.
We would have liked him on the jury.
Yeah.
But the Camden Police Force, I mean, they have to deal with, you know, a pretty bad drug war situation. And... I think there has only been one police shooting in like 20 years that I know.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And the other shooting that I know about was when they brought in the state police to patrol the streets, and then like that very same week that they brought them in, there was a young kid shot by one of the state police.
See,
so.
Do you mind telling me your first name?
David.
Hey, David. First of all, you know, thank you for giving us the update there, and plus, you know, letting us know that somebody's been listening for a while. I mean, I've been wondering whether I should even bother with this shit anymore because.
No. As an outside observer, for what it's worth, I think you guys are really making a difference.
Especially if you stand up for your rights. Like, it's important to fill out complete police report complaints every time you get hassled.
But he's not hassled. See, that's
well,
the point.
Well, I mean, no.
Anybody's listening, quite right. I'm sorry.
Own paper today here in Santa Cruz, we just heard about this woman that got
killed
arrested.
Herself in jail, the fourth death
Horrible.
In a year. Yeah,
and her husband too, right?
Her husband got killed. I guess they're accusing her of. I don't know if they're accusing her of killing a husband or she's in jail for something else. It's in the front pages of the Sentinel.
Oh, they're saying they don't know. They're still investigating her.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the issue of, I know, prisons. There's all kinds of issues that interrelate. Well, David, if you, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a bus driver.
Aww. Oh, really? So you do get out on the streets in the sense that you're there picking up people.
In Camden, yeah. I kind of feel, you know, like I'm kind of intimate.
The outhouses we just put in Monterey, they finally, even the bus drivers didn't have a place to relieve themselves, right, by the transit.
How's the bus drivers union treating you?
The union is basically just concerned with keeping our jobs right now and trying to get a contract signed. I'm kind of a armchair intellectual, I guess you could say.
So we haven't
not
been
really
active
with the union either. I'm not really much of a leader, not articulate enough. I don't feel comfortable enough to get.
I understand everything you're saying, and it seems to me you're conveying the information, which is all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And how you feel about it, you know, those are the issues. What's right, what's wrong, what needs to be changed, and you can put it in any language you want. Street language, mm-hmm. fancy academic language, you know, whatever. It's just, when you say that you listen to my show, I'm flattered, I'm glad somebody listens, but I also, mm-hmm. it discourages me that in 10 years, we haven't, you know, we're more of an entertainment then we are, you know, something that's inspired you to do something locally yourself. That
I understand.
And it's not, you know, it's not criticizing you, because I don't know what your situation is. I don't know, you know, the kinds of pressures you're under. And I don't know. Everybody has different preferences and different times in their life. They do different things. You know, there's just no question about it. Activists here burn out big time. I mean, there are very few who continue. And the fact that they continue doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. We need new people to take the place of old people that, you know, not only just die off, but that it burn out.
And everybody's sticking together.
Well, or
yes, yeah. Well, yeah. I think your show for me is it's a tool, it's an education tool. I learn a lot. You know, I used to worry. Yeah, that here I you know, what can you say? Fetishizing the show, you know, or I'm using it as an entertainment.
Well, that's what a lot of people use, not just this show, but, I mean, because you're so...
But what is media for, you know? I mean,
right,
it's like either your show or Democracy Now!, which I stopped listening to ever since Amy Goodman supported the invasion of Libya. I pretty much gave up.
Oh, yeah. That well, that's... That, but remember, that people can be wrong on one or two issues, but they can be right on other issues. So you got to keep that in mind, too. I mean... You know, I mean, there was good news this morning in terms of the, even these old, you know, old former war criminal members of Congress are now saying things like, they're sending emails directly to Snowden saying, you know, keep doing what you're doing, you're heroic,
yes.
Keep up the good work.
He's awesome.
And, you know, there are lawsuits suddenly coming out against the NSA, although, admittedly, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, was... unfortunately upheld again yesterday, as you probably know, by a higher court. There was a very courageous judge who threw it out, said you can't engage in indefinite detention by congressional edict. That's horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Fourth Amendment to the Constitution.
Yeah.
But, you know, the three-judge panel just threw that out. Now, of course, it'll go to the Roberts Court, where we'll all get to sit around and while these reactionaries will decide our fate. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, as your show has demonstrated, it takes a movement. It really does. Like, even to get things done in court, you know, the courts will respond to a mass movement. And, you know,
maybe.
Unfortunately, the labor movement, you know, is very disappointing. You know, we have our own, or not we, but the labor movement has its own problems that are going to have to be worked out. It's uncomplicated. And it's uncomplicated times because, yes, there are... Republicans who are criticizing Obama, you know, but why? You know, why now? Why? You know, exactly. You know,
and nobody likes to have their phone calls listened in on whether it's Obama snoopers or Bush snoopers.
Right.
They don't like snoopers,
right.
And it's more like a personal thing. What the fuck are you listening to my phone call
That's
for?
Right.
Get off the line, asshole!
Right.
You know, I mean, I gotta have a little privacy. You know, terrorism. You know, I mean, I'm a big, you know, patriot, and I certainly want you to go after all those Arabic sounding characters, but stay off of my line. You know, when it comes home, I think people begin to say. And, you know, I mean, I'm also wondering, in New Jersey, in Camden, is there a large foreclosure problem, or how's that going?
Oh, my gosh, what a crooked
Or
do you know?
I don't have the figures, but just
anecdotally?
From driving, I see many houses that are empty.
A lot of squatting, as far as you can see, as a driver?
No, I don't think so. Maybe in Philadelphia. You know, there's an anarchist type of... very left-wing people who live in Philadelphia, but I don't really know too much about it. I am a little bit knowledgeable about it, and perhaps there is squatting going on in Philadelphia.
What made you decide you wanted to call in today? This is your first call, yeah?
I've actually called before. Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Maybe
great.
5 years ago. Well, just because I just started listening to your show again, and I just want to let you know that...
somebody's listening.
How I feel about it. Yep.
Oh, that's super neat.
Wow. Well, listen, thank you, David. Anything else you want to add, or anything that you two want to say with respect to what David said, or anything you want to ask him or say to him?
Well, I wonder if he's familiar with the Agenda 21 thing, too, how they're trying to shove everyone into stack and pack housing. Because you were talking about
I don't
about
want to spend a lot of time on Agenda 21, nor on, you know, the truth of 9/11. Not because I'm necessarily putting it all aside.
Probably
because I am putting it all aside.
Okay.
If you see any of the homeless problems there where you're from, the one thing, you know, like the police reaction, kind of like you hear about in Santa Cruz and Monterey, is the one thing the police hate more than anything is media attention.
Right.
They don't like it when people record them on their phones and put them on YouTube, or going and starting an account like Brouhaha and writing about it. They do not want media attention in all this.
But that's what you want. That we need to have that attention. We need to bring out the truth. We need to stand up, like our forefathers said, if you're not willing to stand up for your rights and your freedom, then you don't deserve them. So we really need to, each person, and we always look at the like David and Goliath thing, okay, because a lot of people go, oh, there's so many of them and there's only a few of us, but okay, David and Goliath, big guy, little guy, gets them right between the eyes. And our own country was started by a handful of people, right? Standing up is important.
White slave owners, that's right. They did a good job in their own way. David, any other thoughts before I roll into the next last 55 minutes of this show?
Just that, from listening to your show for many years, and just I've learned a lot about homelessness, and your street interviews are awesome.
Hey, thank you, man. I think they're the best part of the show, too.
Does he know about my videos, too, if he hasn't
seen?
He's
been listening to you. He knows that your name is Sonny Fawcett, F-A-W-C-E-T-T. And if you go online to YouTube, you can find Sonny Fawcett's video. And it's, frankly, it's not as thrill-packed as it might be. But if you follow the there's a not good article that describes Sonny's situation, although it's written by someone who Sonny was telling me yesterday is a weird bird in many respects. So what's her name again?
Erica.
Erica. And where can this? What's the name of this article?
We're under YouTube, under Monterey Police Harass Homeless Woman, and the other one is Help Sonny Fawcett.
No, her article.
Her article.
She wrote in Monterey Weekly.
Oh, that was actually in Wrap. Is that what the one we're talking about?
Yeah, I guess. I don't
know. No, it's the Monterey Weekly article.
Oh, okay. So the Monterey Weekly article is criminally annoying. Traffic stop becomes criminal for homeless women.
And I think I may have actually posted the web address for that article when you were on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
David, thank you for calling in.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Gonna,
yep.
yeah. I'm gonna roll.
Take it easy.
And thank you for exposing. Just thanks for what you're doing.
Call
hey,
back.
Thank you for letting me know how you feel about it, man.
Sure. All right. Take care. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you. He's awesome.
So, is there an actual phone call? Thank you, David. And listen out there, it's nice to know people are listening. 427-3772. If you happen to march onto the freeways after the Zimmerman verdict in either Los Angeles or San Francisco, and you're listening to the show, please call in and give us a report as to how that went. I was part of the group that marched onto the freeway back in 1991 when the Elder Bush started the bombing campaign in Iraq. We took the freeway in spite of all the liberal politicians saying, don't, it's the only alienate everyone, blah, 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 you know. And similarly, a year later, when the Rodney King Simi Valley verdict came in, we took the freeways again. But I don't think it's happened much recently. It's been pretty staid, and you've got the Constitution that happened yesterday. It looks like we have another caller, amazingly enough. Yo, caller, you're on free radio.
Oh, I am.
Yes, you are.
Well, I was listening to your show, Robert, and, I think you...
Wait a minute. Have you been listening for 10 years, if not... And I think your name is David,
you need some cheering up or something. You're starting to sound cynical half the time. I'm telling you, I took an issue to the cheerleader squad. I belong to the Union of Cheerleaders.
Yes.
And they're almost ready to give up on you, so you better cheer up. Get some positive stuff on, The veterans... are really having such big breakthroughs right now. You're going to have a veteran service officer, a veteran affairs officer come and tell you about some of the things that are going on for veterans right now. There's so much hope out there. Yes, things are really, really fucking. I'm really, really critical of the lack of, I support the Constitution, the lack of rights and the way homeless people are treated. And I'm very critical of cops. You know where I stand pretty much. But
Thank you.
Don't sound so cynical all the time, Uncle Robert.
Cynical? Me?
Yeah. Know that I love you, and keep the faith, and you have great guests, and I love your show. I really do. You always have great guests, and you're always very thoughtful of others.
Now, I understand, David, you're planning doing some projects, because you showed up at the Huff meeting yesterday. Looks like, you know, at least 50% of the 70% of the audience so far is Huff addicts or activists or visitors. So I know that, you know, you're concerned about these new ordinances and laws. You also are concerned about vets and how they're getting treated. You were giving me optimistic reports about how VASH, the program that will enable people who are vets to get housing, has been successful. I'm getting some negative reports about that. What's the story with VASH these days?
VASH is all you could say, is like a proven program. Now the mistakes are being made. But there's a lot of other programs for the veterans that are happening right now. They're even more hopeful that, you know, people really need to get in touch with their veterans officer, veterans affairs officer, get somebody lobbying for them. Tell veterans worker, you know, what you went through in the Air Force or military, whatever, and get yourself assessed. If you're out there and you're a veteran and you're not getting some kind of benefits, then, you know, hey, what the fuck were you doing in the military? Nothing. You know, so I'm just saying, you know, it's not just that. Yeah, VASH, I'm hearing some bad things about VASH, too. My VASH is the problem with it is that the local county level workers like to go take the literal meaning, things to a literal meaning so much, so that my VASH is sort of decreased to just a quarter of the household, and it was supposed to be originally for half the household, so that's like half the amount of money. So this last move, I was really disappointed, but I'm still fighting the fight, and we're gonna get it. You know, we're getting it straight now, and I am getting real good deals with veterans coming up soon. But I have to borrow money until the veterans thing comes through. It's coming through soon, real soon. I'm gonna be doing real well.
I know you were homeless yourself, David, for quite a while here, and you were, you know, you're an active.
I don't want to be homeless again. I really don't, man.
No, I hear you, man. But what I've heard from another vet recently, well, I guess maybe playing this tape today, is that he hasn't been able to get his housing, even though he was. They cut back, slashed it back from 40 to 20 this year slots, and and of course, I don't know how many vets are waiting to get on in the Monterey, in the Santa Cruz County area, because that's of course where we are. Anyway, I'm gonna leave that, and maybe you can get I'm sure you will do some more diligent research, or at least attempt to.
I would really like to see you get one of these veterans affairs officer and also a veteran service officer, and really really drill them. And if you can't get them to come on your show, at least get them on tape and let them explain how much things are changing for the positive. I think you need a more positive tone. That's all I'm saying, Uncle Robert. Know that I love you, and it's gonna be a tough for all of us to make it, but we're going to make it.
Aww. All right, then. Thanks,
good
David.
Good positive energy. Good for you.
All right, how about everything is beautiful. Actually, I don't like that song, so we'll just leave that one. Aww. Too. But I think I understand the feeling that, you know,
well,
it's
there's
better
improvements
to be,
at the,
upbeat.
Where were we at
downbeat,
this morning? The shelter?
Not sure.
The shelter?
Oh, you went to the homeless lack of services center.
Yes.
And tell us about your experiences there.
It was nice.
Some of it
a nice
turned,
little breakfast
some of it was
and a
nice
shower.
That all the showers have been redone.
They didn't yet demand your ID.
No.
There's no lock gate to go
but
through.
There
that's
some
coming next year. You come back and you'll be able to feel more secure because of the ID check, so that you are
oh,
they make
no,
sure you're
I
not the bad
not
kind of person that
oh,
doesn't
gosh
really belong there.
It's actually nice. It was
the showers were improved.
Peaceful.
They
didn't
have just
problem
a little shower curtain thing. Now they're all kind of nicely built doors and whatnot.
What was the meal? How was the breakfast?
Cheerios, and I just wanted a cup of coffee,
oatmeal,
really, and it was great.
Oatmeal.
How many people showed up?
Quite a few.
Probably like 70, I think.
At
50
least
to 70.
Yeah.
A lot of open drug use that you noticed?
I didn't see
really
any.
Because that's a complaint that I've heard from Steve Plage and various, of course, Take Back Santa Cruz people. And a couple of ordinary people, that there's a massive amount of drug sales, exchange, and use going on there, which, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't bother me in the sense that, you know, I think I'm a libertarian on the issue of drugs, illegal drugs. Some drugs I don't like the luck of at all, but legal drugs usually, tobacco, pharmaceuticals, alcohol, you know, that's up to the people who want to use them. Mm-hmm. But for those who are trying these clean and sober programs that are nearby, it can be presumably kind of difficult if there's, you know, drugs being bought and sold and used nearby. Not that I think the way to go is to try to isolate everybody, but again, I'm no expert on this. And that's one of the things that I guess was a testimony at the last Task Force meeting that I mentioned earlier in the show, the public hysteria, the Citizens Task Force, that is now in its fifth or sixth meeting, and they meet every 2 weeks, although I think they're going on sabbatical for August. They have experts from, as I mentioned before, Needle Exchange. And I was going to ask you about Needle Exchange, and that, by the way, may be online soon, because I was able to get Bren Lehr and Scott Collins to agree to put that stuff up. And often, you know, this is sort of a, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease lesson. If something is happening, complain about it. You know, you don't have to be nasty necessarily to complain about it. You can be polite and complain about it. You can be...
There were people that complained at the clothes closet there today. I couldn't believe it. I was in line...
At the Santa Cruz Lack of Services Center. Yeah.
At the center. And there weren't very many people there. And some guy behind said, you know, I'm going to go in there and, you know, and what the F? And I turned around and I said, you know, these people are doing something nice for you and you're complaining about it. And then this other lady comes and this other guy said, yeah, you know, that's really not cool. And then some lady came storming in and said, that's it, I'm not letting that B-I-T-C-H or something, you know, take up my time. And she comes in and comes waltzing out, and I thought, oh, my God. And then basically we were saying, you know, these are people that are actually volunteers trying to do something good, trying to do something nice, and if anything, it's really important to be thankful for what you have. That's the way we were raised. And then some other lady was singing.
You got to watch out, because that kind of attitude is what police will use when they tell you, talk about your rights. You know, gee, if you have nothing to hide, why don't you open the door of your car, you know? I mean, come on, you be nice, be polite, try to help us out. We police officers aren't volunteers, but we're a very dangerous job. They're kind of, you know, women who are driving too slow on the roads at night.
Well, that's
you know, they might hit us with their purses, throw flowers at us. I mean, you know, and humiliate us. And this guy over here write nasty stories about us in the media, embarrass us in front of all our friends.
Oh, my.
I mean, show
so
some. I was raised to show some respect for officers of the law and charitable groups that will provide us with the occasional soup kitchen. I mean, I'm very pleased with. Now you can hear my sarcasm.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, your experience is different. Obviously,
yeah,
felt grateful that this was there.
I was glad because they thanked us too. They were glad that, because another lady was sweeping and somebody else was throwing stuff all over, and I said, I do appreciate the fact that you're, you know, trying. And she said, thank you. So I'm just saying, a little bit of niceness can go a long way too. But
a little
not,
bit of love.
But yeah. But however, it's very different when it comes to standing up for your rights and being assertive, not aggressive. You definitely, there's no law, like we said, that says keep your window rolled up a few inches to protect yourself.
Or that you have to roll down your window is what you're saying. You don't have to roll your window down when a police officer bangs on your door.
Yeah, and not only that, but we're on the radio show in Monterey, and this woman called in right after we mentioned that about her own family member, daughter, that had her window rolled halfway down on her work grounds parking lot reading a book, as I did it a while back, and got and was asked very rudely, not asked but told, to show her ID, and had her window down halfway and was turning around to get her ID, and as she came back forward, they had already opened the door, yanked her out of the car, threw her on the ground on her face and sat on her, and she only had the couple seconds to call 911 right away when she was down.
This is Monterey?
Yes, in Monterey. And now this is a lawsuit.
This wasn't officer only, was it?
No, but it's... no,
maybe
actually,
it was a training exercise.
I'm sorry, it was Seaside Police. So that's... There's another one.
So the homeless have been sent to Seaside. Should we give the police training activity to engage in? What do you hear from the Seaside situation for homeless people there? How are they getting treated? What are the services like there? Are they able
to
sleep at night without being woken up?
There's a lot of homeless in Seaside. I haven't heard much, actually, feedback. I mean,
you'll be researching that before your next trip up here?
Yes.
For your next story.
I actually hear about my friends leaving, and then I never hear from them again, so I don't know if they went to Seaside or if the police threw them in the ocean somewhere.
Over there either.
There's not much homeless organizing. It seemed to me like there was more homeless organizing in Monterey than certainly in Santa Cruz. I mean, Huff has been around for years, but, you know, as you saw when you came to the organization, we're a minuscule group.
Oh, we're doing good.
Well, I mean, we have a website, and I do this twice weekly show, but in terms of, you know, pumping out information to the community on a broader basis. Petitions go nowhere, unfortunately, but I think it's important to reassert the principles and reassert the facts of what's going on.
And so get to city council meetings.
So in, I don't know about that, in Monterey, you seem to have a large number of people who showed up at this meeting where they've defeated the sit-lie research proposal.
Yes.
So in our meetings, social service providers don't show up except to get their grants.
Mm.
Poverty pimps don't show up except to get the moolah-boolah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones who say, you know, that wonderful place that has such nice breakfast and such good showers for you. They're the ones who say it's okay to drive people, homeless people away from the edges of the area, calling it a no-impact zone. They're the ones who support, who will go along with the ID programs to get food, who will go along with the gated program. You have to go through a gate in order to get into the area. You know, the claim that there's some major crime problem, other than the illegalization of drugs being defined as crime in that area, I have not seen any statistics that shown it, that show it, even though, and I haven't asked for them, so I got to be honest there, but it would seem to me that if there's a lot of convictions for assaults and robberies and rapes, you would get that information from these right-wing groups, which would then put it out, say, hey, look at this, you got to do something about this. But what they do instead is they talk about calls for service, which have to do with, one, how many times they call the cops, or some, you know, disgruntled neighbor, or, you know, concerned citizen or concerned person calls the police.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in Santa Cruz because of the predictive policing program, I'm told. Calls for service are added when police go to certain places simply on, as a regular basis, as part of the predictive policing computer program. This is where the crimes are most likely to occur, so we're going to go police here more, and they call that a call for service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a nice way of padding the stats.
Okay.
Now, I've got to obviously talk to the police about this. I keep repeating this on the radio without any proof. If anybody knows that this isn't the case, or perhaps more clearly, if it is the case, please let me know. And do call in at 427-3772. Two calls is not enough. Two Davids is not sufficient to do.
People?
We want a third David to call in and prove that
Our program
is justified. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask you about, on your note, we just read not too long ago, I think it was last month, in the Santa Cruz University newsletter. There was
City
supposed
and Ohio
to be,
Press?
Yeah, there was a whole group that was coming together to protest a lot of different things, including Victoria's Secrets, that actually gives money towards the prisons, which was just insane.
Well, there's a group that's going after the abuses in, solitary confinement, supports the statewide prison strike, hunger strike, that supports the exposure of abuses in the Santa Cruz County Jail, where there have been 5 deaths in the last year. The newspaper said 4 deaths in the last 11 months after the medical services were privatized in the jails, which may or may not be relevant. Some would say, obviously. Others would say, well.
Do they do cornea scans here? We just found out from some of the homeless people in jail.
I have no idea.
Corneas.
I don't know.
Scans.
But you know, you can't be too careful with people like yourself. You know, you could be some kind of a, AIDS disease, bubonic plague, flower carrying.
Especially since I'm into nutrition.
Yeah. I'm going to take a musical break here, and we're going to come back with what I intended to do an hour and a half ago, which is play some tape. As you can see, not very successful in my own scheduling. But the number here is 831-427-3772, 831-427-3772. What's happening in your neighborhood? How do people feel about, racial profiling? Class profiling is even more important for us, this show, around homeless people. And it was an issue raised by one of the callers at the Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meeting yesterday. Every Wednesday, 2 o'clock, Sub Rosa Cafe. Come on down. You can do it. We pointed out that it's not just, there's a lot of talk that's kind of pissed me off about, the acquittal of Zimmerman, and there should be, based upon the exclusion of all his racial prejudice, as I understand from the court testimony before the jury, but there's also the issue of what's happening locally in Santa Cruz, that in terms of racial and class profiling, that's really the issue, because here we can actually deal with it. If it's miles away, we can say, oh, we don't like that. And all the council members say, yeah, we don't like that. But when it comes to here, the council members can't say that because they can do something about it.
Right.
And so can we. We can, put their feet to the fire. And,
right.
tar and feather them and run them out of town. Of course, that would be considered violence, and you know how much I abhor violence. Let's take a breather here and listen to a little Ani DiFranco before I, well, go any further.
Yay,
a song I wrote for the person who made it simple for me. Oh, wow, you're cooler than anything ever. So, I'm just going to serve this. It's my choice this time. I was singing my little wedding song last night in Toronto, and some dude in the balcony was like, "Don't do it!" Too late. I don't mind waiting in line. No, no. I don't mind if bills pile up and the work is slow. I don't mind the gas or the groceries or the grind. Long as I'm with you, I'm having a good time. I don't mind the stoner waiter or the poorly cooked food. I don't mind Little Miss Kitty or her knucklehead dude. I don't mind if every last person here is ugly and rude. Long as I'm with you, I got a good attitude. Long as I'm with you, we could be stuck in traffic for over a week with a car full of quintuplets who are all cutting teeth. And around my neck could be a flaming Christmas wreath, and I'd be smiling under, smiling underneath. I don't mind waking up early for a flight that's delayed. I don't mind our week's vacation was chilly and gray. I don't mind the traffic cops or the TSA. Long as I'm with you, I'm having a good day. Long as I'm with you. I don't mind spilling my hot sauce onto my white shirt. I don't mind that twinge when I walk in that knee that I hurt. I don't mind my gums stealing back of my hair getting thin. Long as I'm with you, I win. Long as I'm with you, yes, we could be stuck in traffic for over a week with a car full of quintuplets who are all cutting teeth. And around my neck could be a flaming Christmas wreath, and I'd be smiling under, smiling. Smiling underneath.
And that was Smiling Underneath by Annie DeFranco from the album Buffalo, April 22nd, 2012. You are tuned to the stream of Freak Radio, or Free Radio, and we are at Freak Radio, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris in the studio with Sonny Fawcett and Brian and Richard. Thank you, Brian. And we're talking about all kinds of things. I'm going to play a little street interviews, I guess we call them, which I intended to do an hour ago, but got lost in the conversation with this couple here, who are just good friends, as far as I know. There's nothing intimate or funny going on here. I'm keeping an eye on the two of them, keeping them apart. The 6 feet, I think, is the appropriate. And I provided chocolate chip cookies in case either of them gets any ideas. You can learn more about Sonny's case, which we're going to talk a little bit about before we leave, by going to the actual article, which is called, what's the article again? Something Criminally Annoying. Criminally Annoying actually will probably do it. Those two words are unusual enough. Sonny Fawcett, Criminally Annoying, should get you there, and that should be good. If you want to find more about her, let's listen to some older tape and get some reactions from our guests, perhaps, or from you at 831-427-3772. That's the call-in number here, 831-427-3772.
Downtown, the middle of the gay blockade of the downtown area. It's actually a lot of booths or tables in the street on Pacific Avenue. It's about 10:15 to 4, and I'm talking with.
And this is some tape from a couple of months ago when there was a gay kind of festival downtown. Bi, lesbian, transgender, covering the whole, much of Pacific Avenue, a lot of tables, including, ironically enough, Take Back Santa Cruz. And I may have played this before, but I'm going to play it again. It seems a little apropos, given the fact that Sonny and Brian had such a good experience this morning at the Homeless Lack of Services Center. And when I say Homeless Lack of Services Center, I usually mean lack of shelter, because they don't have any shelter for people who walk in. It's just as simple as that. And that's the primary need, although there are other needs, and these are needs that were, to some extent, met today. You got showers, you got food, you got, multiple drug options. No, probably no drug. You didn't see any drug options.
We don't have a shelter, though, like you guys have. iHelp for the men, which is great for a different church every night, but then there's nothing for the women. Zilch. Hasn't been. And there's a real false assumption that we do have. And what they usually do is send people from our area to Monterey area to Salinas, and the women from Salinas over here. And it's just kind of a way to pass the buck and not really.
And I want to hear more about Dorothy's Place in Salinas, if you know anything about that.
So sad.
Let's see what's cooking here. Dorothy's Place is a place that organized attempt to give people a place to stay outside and also feeds them and so
very
forth.
Very sad.
So, hi there. You're on Free Radio with Robert and Brian and Sonny.
Well, here's your third David call. I just really think that everybody ought to call the DA and really get on them to really, really
thank
investigate
you.
and get statements from all those fellow women and prisoners in jail with her.
Yes.
Find out who really murdered her before the police let them all loose or make deals with them. Whatever. I think that the DA has got to get on top of this now. The people shouldn't stand for this. It's obvious what happened. It's clear to all of us what's happened. The woman's been murdered for standing up against the police.
I know.
So, I don't know if I got that impression by reading the story. Why do you say she was murdered?
I think so.
David? Looks like David came and went. That's a story in today's Sentinel newspaper, and they're talking, of course, about the Santa Cruz DA. I know that you were making an appeal, Sonny, to the Monterey DA, which is almost always a futile activity to going after the DA.
Oh, it's so crooked.
But, it certainly gives publicity to the situation. Hopefully will ultimately lead to more better public understanding of the situation. Rage against the they've dying of the light, so to speak.
Videos. Can you say something about that?
And actually, I'm about to play something about the homeless lack of services center because we got a little sidetracked there, which I always do, but that's how it goes. All right, here's something from, again, this is an interview with Raven, who is a homeless activist who does massage on the streets and also is selling the newspaper Street Spirit. So let's hear a little of that.
Hey, yeah, I had a run-in.
The infamous Raven, I believe she's called.
well, that's what she called me. I was over at the Homeless Services Center last week, and I have a...
Buying drugs, perhaps?
No, I was trying to get some food. I had my little backpack here that I use as my purse. So I have shoulder problems, and I can't carry a regular woman's purse. So I use this backpack instead. Well, they have some silly rule about no backpacks in the dining room, but women can...
Did you have any kind of problem with anything you were carrying? Were you carrying a backpack or a... Did you have a backpack with you when you walked up there?
Yeah.
Walked up where?
To the Homeless Lack of Services Center on Coral Street today, earlier this morning.
No, I didn't have a backpack.
Because you had a vehicle you kept it in. Right.
Okay.
Whereas, actually, I wanted to sort of take this as an aside. You normally don't live in a vehicle. You're outside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where do you store your stuff?
Different places.
So, I mean, friends? Is it public services? Is it?
No, it's more like...
Caches where you hide it.
Yeah.
You don't even have lockers or anything like that, do you?
No.
Yeah, we have no lockers in Santa Cruz either, except for bicycles. And, of course, there are parking places for vehicles where homeless people and people generally are not allowed to be unless they are parking or retrieving a vehicle or walking directly through.
And in Los Angeles, they have some guy, he was awesome. He got a whole bunch of carts made specifically for the homeless people. So you couldn't say, oh, it was a grocery cart or this one. I think that would be another neat idea, something in a form of a wheel.
Obviously something we should legislate against immediately in order to stop trashing the streets with these kinds of vehicles. There's all kinds of real solutions ranging from Japanese, shelf boxes where you can sleep in a very limited area to, geodesic domes to overnight parking and parking. They're all kind. If somebody wanted to do it, if there was the political power to do it, there wouldn't be any problem.
Right.
But in fact, people have got to mobilize the power. And among homeless people, as you probably know, Brian, it's people seem to gravitate around one or two people for a particular cause, but there's no continuing organizations. Mm-hmm. And if there are, they do tend to get co-opted by the funders and by the groups that are funding them. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Actually, I've talked to several churches in Monterey that used to hand out camping gear and sleeping bags. And several of them told me that the city put pressure on them and, their board not to allow them to give it out to the homeless. So now the homeless have to go from Monterey to, what's that place called, St. Vincent de Paul in Pacific Grove to have any kind of camping gear or any kind of, sleeping bag or something.
In the same way that the churches could be implemented to use parking for, people to have overnight places to be. That's another
thing. I mean, in Santa Cruz, we have a rule. There's an exception to the city's sleeping ban and camping ban, as they call it. It's actually a sleeping ban after 11 o'clock at night, where you are allowed, if you are parked in a church, three vehicles are allowed to park in any church parking lot, two vehicles in any business or nonprofit parking lot.
Wow.
And you can park in a private driveway and sleep overnight for three nights of every calendar month.
Wow, we don't even have that.
That means for 27 other nights, you're not allowed to be in that place. And, this is kind of similar to the Palo Alto proposal that's coming up to ban vehicular camping that says, well, if they're parking in front of your house and they're a friend of yours, they can stay there for 72 hours. I mean, it's a favoritistic kind of thing, which is what's mainly designed to do is to simply blinker off the economic reality of people who live in their vehicles or outside their vehicles, as you do, Brian. I think
I'm kind of surprised at the lack of the churches that in Monterey that aren't sticking up for the homeless and allowing them to,
getting funding
to sleep
too.
In their, whether the parking lot.
How many churches are there in Monterey, would you estimate?
I have no idea.
30,
see, I know there are dozens in Santa Cruz County, for sure. Hundreds, several
30,
hundred.
40,
I mean, isn't there supposed to be a difference between church and state? But all of a sudden...
Well, there's no difference between church and large corporate greed or church and hypocritical, we like the upper middle class people that come every and support us with their money and, pray to Jesus on Sunday and go to work on Monday.
And we just found out after...
Well, at least Jesus loved the poor. I mean...
I have no idea what Jesus... though. Anybody tells me about that shit, I say, how the fuck do you know? I don't speak Aramaic, Greek. Let's talk 21st century language here. Stop relying on this ancient stuff, which I admittedly... I think the ethic is a good one. I mean, I applaud it. There's no question about it. But it's like people glorify the military. Our poor vets, they served their country. You mean as murdering people abroad? No, they didn't serve their country. They served their corporate masters. But they are victims just like the rest of us are. So they have to be treated that way. But don't glorify them and don't glorify this religious mythology. This is just my personal...
Well,
you may believe it.
And when you do a war thing, you're joining the military, you're trained to do just two things, kill or be killed. That's it.
You're simply defending your country, my sweet. Yeah, you've got to remember that.
Well,
otherwise, the terrorists will win, as they say.
And
I want to hear no more of this.
Phil Panko, the chief... we're waiting right now to get a list of that he promised me of 80 different places that businesses and certain people do not want the homeless to be in, or they will get ticketed. So I said, well, let's have that list. I'd like to see that list.
So where homeless can't be or where they can be?
Where they cannot be, because businesses have said they particularly want to make sure those places are patrolled so you can't get there. And apparently it's a bigger list now, but we've been going back and forth for the last couple of days to the police department to get this list. And so far he's been at a meeting or here and there.
Make a formal Public Records Act request. Do you know how to do that? I'll tell you how to do it. It's very easy.
Okay.
On a piece of paper, you write down, this is a Public Records Act request.
Okay.
You date it. You give it a return address. And you say, to whom it may concern, I would like the following following documents. I'd like to view the following documents, and I may want to copy them. And then you say what the document is.
Can she do that with... There's two of her police videos that
the
police turned over as evidence and actually altered them, but they will not give her copies, nor will her own public defender.
Well, of course, when it comes to a pending legal case, there may be some exceptions, there may not. Yeah. It's a good question. You need to go to the law library and research it. But it certainly can make the request.
Yeah.
And they get nervous when they get a formal written request. You can call them and talk to them as many times as you want, although apparently you've been successful in getting some kind of response, an ambivalent response. I'm talking to Brian about this, about this library stuff. But let me... it sounds like you wanted to say something, and I was cutting you off.
I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say, when we first viewed the videos, because they wouldn't let us see the other videos, I got the first one after a long time.
And what we're talking about, folks, in case you don't know, is that that Sunny got she was convicted of disobeying a lawful order from an officer, which was to turn off her engine, even though... she had her engine. I'm not sure you were leaving it on to stay warm or something.
Yes, I left it on to stay warm.
12:30 at night.
Okay.
12:30 at night in winter time.
And this was back in October, and you were also
going too slow and impeding invisible traffic.
You were impeding traffic at 12:30 at night on a road that I saw one car. I saw part of the video in the 5 or 10 minutes of the video. There was one car that went by. In any case, you wanted to get a copy of this video for trial. Your public defender, and you're going to be talking about this briefly, but maybe I better get you to talk about it shortly, because we are running out of time here.
Now we have other ones.
You
that we wanted.
You what you were trying to do was you. You had problems with your public defender because the public defender seemed not to be giving you the discovery you wanted. First of all, you couldn't get the speedy trial you requested. You couldn't see the documents in the discovery. Not just the video, but everything else.
Right.
And I'm interrupting you because I know you have a tendency to go in 7 or 8 different directions, and I don't want to get too angry over the air because it makes very bad radio to be attacking your guests.
I think that they still won't let her see her own file.
Yes. That's insane.
Again, I know it's an interesting question. I don't know the law on that. What you might want to do is hang around the courts.
That's
and
the law.
You might want to do is hang around the courts and talk to the public the public defenders about their experience and say, what can I do with a public defender who won't reveal the file to me that I want to get? And what are the circumstances? You might get bullshit, or you might get an honest answer. The reason you want to talk to public defenders is because public defenders do these kinds of cases a lot. It's not that they're any particularly honest, or particularly independent, or particularly reliable.
We talk to their supervisors.
But they do these cases a lot. And you don't go in and talk to them in an adversarial way.
No.
You talk to them in a way that requests assistance. And the... You know,
we
if
went to
you,
the DA's office.
What I'm saying is, no, you're, what you're saying, but I'm going to contradict you, Fawcett, Sonny Fawcett, because when you go in and make claims on your own case, you're obviously suggesting you need something and something isn't being done, and that's something you should do, but it's different than going to another public defender and saying, what should one do in a case of something and such in a more abstract way, and say, you know, I've got a friend who has a case and she wants her file. What do you do with that? Do you have a right to your file? In other words, if you ask that question to a public defender in the hallway that you don't even know, who doesn't have a stake in your case, and you don't say, so-and-so won't help me in the DA's office. You know, if you don't put it that way, you might learn something that you don't already know. That's just a suggestion I have for you.
Okay, I understand that, except that we already talked to the top guys in the
defense. But that's not the point. You're missing my point again.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know, I mean, you should talk to the top guys. You should hold them accountable. But they are going to be even more defensive.
Well, now they said, the top guys said, well, now we can have it after the trial's over.
Right. Well, get it now anyway, because
it'll
be useful for you to publicize what went down. And let's talk about the trial and the remaining time, unless you wanted to say something else, Brian. You look like you might have.
I need help.
Why don't you go ahead, Sonny, and remember, you've got to be concise. You have very limited time to talk about this.
Wanted to say, if anybody's been through anything like that and had any success in dealing with this kind of stuff, I would love to hear from you. You can email...
Excuse me. Yes. You're supposed to be... forgive me. Sorry. I want you to talk about what happened at the trial. People don't know what happened at the trial.
We
haven't discussed this yet.
So we were at the trial. We were found not guilty for the 148A, which was delaying and resisting the officer for 26 minutes by his choice. But they tacked on another charge, which was...
disobeying an officer. And you were found guilty of that. And you were found not guilty...
without my permission.
You were found not... you don't get a permission. They don't have to have your permission to tack on another charge. Sorry. They don't need your permission to tack on another charge. They just don't. But you should be able to say, I need more time to defend against this charge. I mean, you might have the right to say, I want more time. And the public defender, however, unless you say, and you didn't, and who does, it's very hard to do, unless you stand up in court and say, I'm profound disagreeing with my public defender. He can't represent me anymore. I want more time to pursue this case. This charge just came down a week ago. I'm firing my public defender. I'm taking over my own case. Thank you so much.
He's supposed to do it in 72
hours. He actually told her that it was an infraction.
That's right.
And he was trying to get her to agree to it, and that it would be $100 fine.
And the infraction, what he told her that was an infraction was the...
2800A.
Which was the disobeying of an officer.
Yeah. And he would pay $100 if it was...
Which was refusing to turn off your motor.
The guy from the jury said that the reason the jury found her guilty was because she didn't turn her engine off of that one code.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She didn't turn off her motor.
And she didn't obey the officer. So
in that particular case or in everything else?
No, in just not turning off the engine.
Which is totally crazy. Totally nuts.
I don't know that you are required to turn off your engine unless, I suppose a public safety claim could be made. The officer's concerned you're going to run away. But, you are... I don't know. But I know that, as I understand, how long was this trial for?
4 days.
$10,000 a day.
And this was a four-day trial when you had, how many hours a day did it go on?
All day.
This was in Salinas in the courtroom of?
Morning.
Courtroom 7, Judge Maldonado.
Judge Maldonado, who, by the way, got DUIs.
It's not relevant to this case,
and
Sonny.
It's not relevant
to this case. No. It doesn't matter if he was convicted of, forging documents. The question is whether he is being, improper in your case, not whether what his previous case was. That's my view.
And,
anyway.
And actually, one of the public defenders, Hughes, what did he tell you that Judge Maldonado said before the trial even began?
Yeah, before the trial even began, he said he just wants you to have 45 days in jail, and he's going to just have pleasure sitting there watching me every day while I'm going through all this stuff.
Who said this?
Judge Maldonado said it.
Yeah, but it was
Thomas
public
Hughes,
defender,
my public defender.
Her first public defender told her that.
You had two public defenders, neither of whom were very worked very well for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, the first one didn't even file a motion to dismiss or follow through on the Pitches motion, which got not gone through, didn't go through because one of the public defenders, investigators, didn't file it on time. So I said, well, what are you waiting for? You file it again. He still didn't do it.
Pitches motion, for those who don't know, is a motion that requests to know if a police officer has had complaints of either falsification or violence filed against him in the last 5 years, and if so, who are the individuals who filed those complaints? And that allows you to bring in these people to challenge the credibility of the police officer.
Even Judge Maldonado said he looked into their records and didn't find anything wrong.
Well, then the Pitches motion was filed, and apparently it was filed because if he looked into their records, unless he was doing so independently of the motion,
yes,
well, he did so independently of the motion. I don't know. In any case,
true.
You had a problem where it looked like the police officers were all packing. I don't know what the situation was, but you're stopping on the road and refusing to provide ID until you saw the ID of the officer, even though the officer was in a squad car and was armed and was in uniform.
But I've never known him before, never seen him before, and
yeah,
women
but,
have
all right,
been raped.
So I mean, there are some who would say that you're making an unreasonable demand to the officers. Others would say, when I first heard this, I thought, the officer should identify himself with a document.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that. And, it doesn't look like he has any other pressing business anywhere else. I mean, that sort of thing. I see no problem with that. On the other hand, it is unusual, and perhaps properly, maybe should become more usual for individual members of the public to say,
definitely.
Show me your ID, sir, before you,
we have a right
make
to
me spread
ourselves.
My legs and, lie down on the ground and, take all my documentation out and answer all kinds of questions.
Take your car.
So that could be true. But the fact is, you did have this colloquy with the officer for about 27 minutes, is that
26
right?
26 minutes.
26 minutes on the road. And you did request that other supervisors show up, and they did. And the end result of all this was they didn't give you a citation for driving too slow.
For nothing.
What were their final comments to you before they left?
The final comments was, we were going to kick her loose. At the end of the video, you'll hear that. We're going to kick her loose. We can CalPhoto her later. And they told me I was free to go. And a month later, I get the criminal complaint.
So it seems to me that if you were... It seems interesting that they took a month to scheme it out to get to put prosecutions, to find the right charge to give you. Though,
and
I got to say...
I'm not guilty.
I got to say, I myself was charged with... two felonies and two misdemeanors 3 months after the River Street Bank occupation. And, of course, it was dragged through the courts for a year until the charges were finally dismissed. And four people of the Santa Cruz 11 are still facing those charges in August and September. For all of you folks out there who are concerned about this, that's still coming right down the pike. Brent Adams is working on the sanctuary camp. Is an individual is right in the middle of this. He's also being charged, faces 4 years in prison. So the trial, which finally took place months later, a trial has to take place within 45 days if you demand it. Now, apparently, you didn't know that, or
nope,
you didn't.
We sure didn't. They didn't.
Yeah, I thought I must have. You came to Huff meetings. Maybe you didn't register it. I'm pretty sure I. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember if I mentioned it to you or not. But if you'd mentioned you wanted a speedy trial, I'm sure I would have said to you, then you just demand it.
Yeah.
And, if your public defender doesn't demand it, then you write a note to the judge. You stand up in court. You say, Your Honor, I'm withdrawing my time waiver. I'm no longer waiving time. I want a trial within 45 days.
And I said right from the beginning of this whole thing, the first day I was in court in front of the judge, I said, I want this dismissed. I didn't break any laws. There was no impeding traffic, and I was driving at a safe speed. And he just said, oh, I see what you're trying to do, but that's not quite how we do it here.
But it's not. See, that's the point. You've got to know the way they play the game in these courts, or else you'll get screwed. It is not a question of an honest exchange of stories and justice being done. That's ridiculous.
Well, we're learning about abatements.
That's a fairy tale, Sonny. What you need to do is you need to, you can file a motion to dismiss, but a motion to dismiss will usually only happen if the charge is improperly formed or there's absolutely no evidence.
And
the problem is a police officer's testimony is considered evidence, so that's evidence. It'll then go to a preliminary hearing or probable cause hearing, which I think is actually one is a little different than the other. Anyway, this is sort of advice to people out there, which is you should acquaint yourself as best you can with court procedures. Don't think you know what's going on. Go to the law library, ask questions about what the situation is, talk to other defendants, and try to find a sympathetic public defender not connected with your case who will give you some information about this stuff. Because this is, if you want to look at the Zimmerman acquittal, look at trials, look at how homeless people are treated. You were telling me, Brian, that there are all kinds of people who have been serving time for sleep crime.
And the judge cut everybody off every time they mention homeless, every time our defender says something.
When I see this, because I've seen three stops, one September 12th, and then September 19th, 2012, and then one May 19th, 2013, and each time they targeted her. To the two other videos I watched, you can actually see the headlights that they later said was out, and that she wasn't driving with them on, and you could actually see them in the video. But stop by Olney, on all three videos, the police got together and they were laughing at the end of all the videos.
Sonny, I suspect you're going to have trouble doing this. I want you to give me a summary of the trial, first, second, third, and fourth days, and you have 4 minutes to do it. So,
okay, first day they picked the jury, which was very prejudiced, because if you didn't like an officer or had not a great experience, then you were excused. And the other ones got to stay. And the second day was basically the DA and the defender going back and forth. And whenever the defender said anything about homelessness, the judge just cut him off, said, objection, etc. And then, of course, the third day I took the stand and basically told my story about how I kept my window up to protect myself, which I have a right to do after, going through identity meetings and things like that. And identity theft meetings and protecting your basic constitutional rights. And then I was going the safe speed limit. Even the captions, when you see the DVD, it should show how fast my speed was actually, or what my speed was actually at. And then the second thing was I did show all my information. They kept saying I didn't. I did. I showed what I had. And then the last part of that was, of course, being found not guilty for the exact same thing that they were trying to hold against me. And, of course, they were asking if I did have an ID, and I was rummaging through my bags at the time, which the defenders and everybody thought was kind of funny because of, the same amount of time it took me to find stuff when I was in the car with all my stuff. But I did get to hold it up in front of the jury, and so they did get to see it. And the judge at that time was saying, okay, that's okay, she doesn't need to do that. I think he was, embarrassed about it. And then at the end, I told my own bad experiences with former police officers, that one of them that yanked me by the collar out of the car, and some other situations there. But I had one of the jury members even in tears and listening to some of my stuff. And
not enough to find you not guilty. And what kind of penalties do you face now? You're facing a sentencing hearing, right?
Yeah, next month they want me to come back for sentencing, and I don't even know what that's all about and what the deal is entailing there, but I would like to try to have some other change in that whole situation to prevent that whole thing from happening. So if anyone has any ideas on that,
no change. Well, you could always flee the country. That's always
well.
Possible.
There you go.
Not that I necessarily
or
recommend
by some
you
miraculous
flee to
thing
justice.
Where maybe our courthouses will be closed, as in Fed Up with the Legal System. The book NOLA Press. Where you can, turn things into mediation and counseling and restorative justice places.
Good idea. Brian, any comments on the trial that you noticed? Again, on the trial itself that you want to comment on?
Well, in particular, I noticed that the judge, every single time her attorney tried to object to something, the judge was 100% for the prosecution.
Yep.
And he was actually very leading precious. The prosecution
yes.
in certain directions throughout yep. the trial.
Yep.
I mean, he wanted this lady in jail, and that's
just
the way he was acting. And even the public defender, Thomas Hughes, who was her first public defender, he was sitting in, and he said, "I've never seen Judge Maldonado act like this with any other defendant before."
He said this to you as an aside, or how did you hear
it? He said it in front of a few people in the hallway. And he actually had been in many cases with Judge Maldonado.
Now, this is the first public defender that, Sonny, you dismissed.
Yeah.
Do either one of you want to say why that public defender was dismissed?
She just...
Thomas thought he didn't have much of a voice of like the Charles Shivers guy did. But we also found something really strange, that at the end of the first day after the jury was picked, in came this letter from I don't know who, and if anybody knows who it is, I'd like to know, that was talking about dropping this whole thing. And it seemed like there was a lot of clout there because it upset Judge Maldonado, and he said something about you can't do an ex parte thing or something. And both the DA and my defender would not let me see it. I don't know what that's all about.
And somebody named Jean Forte filed
a
petition.
Yes.
And they wouldn't let her see it, but they took it out of the file.
Right.
And I don't know that they legally can actually remove something from the file.
Yeah, they removed it from my public file. It was not in there. I saw it in the defender's file, but not in. And
again,
these
are details that I think people who are listening can't make heads or tails of. They don't have the documents. They don't know what you're talking about.
When you look at my YouTube,
they'll
be on there.
And they're not, some people may look at your YouTube, but I think the specifics, again, are... I guess if people want more information, they should go to your YouTube and also the story. Perhaps one of you will be writing an account of the trial. You said there was a reporter who wrote an earlier sympathetic story, but then apparently it was not so sympathetic toward the end of the trial. Erica, somebody?
The Coast Weekly has been regularly putting in letters, so if we can get people to write the DA...
Again, I'm talking about whether you want to write something yourself about the trial, and the people who are listening to this broadcast can go to... And read about it, because we've kind of done some fragments about it. You've heard some impressions, but
there'll be a YouTube slide eventually on it. So
Jean Forte sued three judges in Monterey, so that story is well worth checking into. It's on the YouTube video. The declaration that was missing from him. Yeah.
So I want to thank the two of you for coming in. We've been talking with Brian.
You're awesome,
Richard.
Sonny Fawcett, and Sonny is still going to be at liberty until her sentencing hearing is when?
In a month.
Court date?
Unless there's some miracle.
Court date? No miracles. Court date is
9th?
When?
Oh, there are miracles, though. Not August yet. 9th.
Well, I never can tell.
I think it is.
Might be a revolution at some point.
See, that's right.
Yeah. Unlikely, but always possible, I suppose. August 9th, so we'll be covering this. That's not a month. That's a couple weeks.
Right.
Or 3 weeks, maybe.
So we're expecting divine intervention. Thank you.
I wish you luck on the divine intervention.
Thank you.
We'll talk to Zeus, see if he can send down a few thunderbolts. I guess it is Zeus, right? Coming up next, I don't know, is there going to be an Uncle Dennis show today? Do you know...
I am the Uncle Dennis.
We have a man who is disguised as Uncle Dennis, who will be doing From the Cream to the Dregs. That's Ren, who does normally the Mideast Madness show Mondays from 3 to 4:45. Is that right, Ren?
And Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1.
And Saturday is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'll be back on Sunday from 9:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And thanks to all our listeners.
I think, and... Sonny will, she'll be around giving her thoughts as she is, and she's struggling to continue to be able to drive without being harassed. I take it you haven't been harassed since while driving.
No, I think I have guardian angels watching over me.
Or maybe the police department don't want to push their luck on this one.
Probably not.
Anyway, thanks for your tuning into this show. There is a Saturday Food Now Bomb feed coming up at 4 o'clock at the in front of the post office. That's in downtown Santa Cruz. If you want to check that out, there's often a lot